So this morning in confirmation class, I showed the students a Hebrew Bible, and I have one. So I have one with me this morning. And if you have never seen a Hebrew Bible before, then it is laying here up front, and you can come up and have a look at it if you want. So there you have it, the entire Old Testament in Hebrew. So. I showed them the Greek New Testament also, but that was some weeks ago. So I'm going to ask you this morning to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 39. And before we get into that passage, I'm going to, well, we're going to pray first, and then I'm going to ask a question. Uh-oh, the pastor's sitting down. That means this is going to be long. No. So let's just bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for all of the encouragement and truth and healing that it brings to us. And I pray that through it this morning, we would learn more about what it means to have a relationship with you and what the fruit of that relationship is. In your holy name, amen. So before we get into Luke chapter 1 this morning, I am going to ask a question. So I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. And I'm going to say a phrase. And when I say that phrase, chances are there's going to be a thought that is going to come to your head. Okay, there might be a variety of thoughts, but the very first thought to come to your into your mind when I say this phrase, hold that thought there, okay? And here's the phrase. Ready for it? Okay. The phrase is filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, you can open your eyes now. I'm guessing there were all kinds of different thoughts that may have come to people's minds when I said that phrase. So what were they? What were some of the things that came to your mind when you heard that phrase? Mary, okay. The day of Pentecost. The dove coming down.
Strong
Yeah, any others? Thank you. That's very gracious. Well, I trust that's the case right now. So Luke chapter 1 verse 39, if we were to spend just more time conversing about the topic of the Holy Spirit, I'm guessing that there would be a variety of additional things that we could share about, and some of them would be biblical, and then some of them would be things that probably come to mind as a result of things we've seen in other churches or at retreats or on TV or different things like that. There, so that phrase gets used in a variety of ways, and there are a variety of expressions for different Christians of what it means to live in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But there is a story in Scripture that we're going to look at this morning that is going to maybe open our eyes a little bit more about what it can mean to live in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So in Luke 1, starting with verse 39. Now, this is the story of the birth of John the Baptist continued.
Well,
last
I think
week,
we're gonna,
we looked earlier
we're right
in the book
now
of Luke about
still on
how the angel came to Zechariah and told him that he and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a son, even though they were not able to have kids, and now they're getting old, possibly past the years for having kids. And so now they're going to have this child, and
then we're gonna
not just
start,
any child, but this child is going to be very
pretty
special. It's going to be a boy, and
he killed
he is going
D-A-T-I-L.
to be, it's said, filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That was in Luke 1, verse 15. We learned that. So keep that in mind as we read through Luke 1, verses 39 through 45. It says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." I guess we'll kind of go through this verse by verse. And so you remember Mary and Joseph are from Nazareth. And it says Mary went to the hill country in Judah. And so Nazareth is in the northern part of Israel. Judah is in the southern part of Israel. So she took a little journey.
The only thing
would have,
I should send that
I say, a little journey that could have taken a few days on foot, most likely. And it said she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth.
Okay.
Now that's an important detail. We'll keep that in mind here. In verse 41, it says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." Mary and Elizabeth are cousins, okay? And so Mary knew that Elizabeth was pregnant because the angel told her that Elizabeth is pregnant, and that even though she's advanced in years, she's going to give birth to a son also.
Sounds really good.
And so Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And this was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. It says that back in verse 26.
They'll go get the key.
And something very unique happens when Mary walks into the house and greets Elizabeth. The baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb. That's little John the Baptist in there. He's never met Mary. How would he know what's going on? But what's so special about this is that John the Baptist is to be the forerunner, as we saw last week. He is to go in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way for Jesus. So he is going to live a life of calling people to repentance so that their hearts will be prepared to receive the ministry of Jesus, which ultimately is to die on the cross for our sins. And so there's this connection there between John the Baptist and Jesus. And that connection didn't just start when later on when John baptized Jesus. It is a connection, evidently, that started when they are both still in their mothers, which is incredible and, well, you know, kind of strange. And so this little baby John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And then it says in verse 41, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Now here's what happened. "And she exclaimed with a loud cry." And she's speaking to Mary now. She is responding to Mary's greeting. So Mary has just come to the house. She greets Elizabeth. Elizabeth feels the baby jump inside her. And then she replies to Mary's greeting and she cries out. She says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.
Could be a reservation.
And why is it granted to why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So Elizabeth here is giving us an example of what it can mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it would seem that her response to Mary is triggered by the baby leaping in her womb. Now, Elizabeth knew the significance of the child that Mary was carrying. Why? Partly because of this. Okay. So Elizabeth knows, probably because Zechariah told her, what the angel told him, that their son, John, is going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. He's going to come prepare the way.
Behind her.
And so now, along comes Mary.
Wild life.
And when Mary shows up at Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth hears her greeting,
game warden,
her child jumps.
But they could pick you
and
up
she knows that the child Mary is carrying is the Messiah. And so then she cries out.
We're going straight.
And in her cry, she is, what is she doing here? She is blessing Mary. She says, blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. She says, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she knows that the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and her personal Lord is inside Mary as she's speaking at that moment. That's pretty awesome. And then Elizabeth states why she knows this. She says in verse 44, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So that's her evidence. First of all, it's really interesting and in verse 45, she says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. She's saying that Mary is blessed for believing what God told her, basically. It's really interesting to me to look at some of the characteristics of this event. First of all, where is this at? Well, it's at Zechariah's and Elizabeth's house, okay? This is not in a church or a synagogue. Well, they didn't have churches yet because Pentecost hadn't happened yet. They had synagogues. The Jews met in synagogues. They're not in a synagogue. They're not in any, they're not in the temple. They're not in a religious location per se. And yet Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Holy Spirit can be something that happens, and I would say is usually something that happens, not in a religious location or a religious service. It is something that happens in the context of our own homes, of everyday life, okay? And that's something we see taught in this story about how the Holy Spirit works and when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, you know, here's another question, and this is one that really gets me is did Elizabeth know that she was filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment? Did she? Now, it doesn't say, you know, I'm kind of going out on a limb here and speculating a little bit, but if you try to put yourself in Zechariah's and Elizabeth's shoes, you know, these, based on the brief descriptions that we saw last week in Luke, you know, Zechariah is this priest. They're both getting up there in years. You know, he's serving his two-week rotation every year in the temple. They haven't been able to have kids. And so they've, you know, he goes and does his priestly duties. And other than that, because there's a certain amount of shame associated with not being able to have kids in that culture, they kind of live a lifestyle of laying low. You know, they're not the kind of people that draw attention to themselves, and they're not the kind of people that are trying to show off their spirituality, okay? Zechariah is absolutely surprised and floored by what happened to him. You know, the angel appeared to him in the temple, in the holy place, when he was offering incense. And that obviously had never happened to him before. And he was so surprised by it that it brought out the faith struggle that he had. And he questioned what the angel told him. How do I know that what you're saying is going to happen? Well, buddy, your wife's going to get pregnant. I mean, that's how you know. But, you know, that was his reply to the angel. So, you know, these are not super spiritual people. They're not people that, chances are they're not people that see themselves as people that are going to speak prophetically. You know, if you would have, think of it this way, if you would have had the opportunity to talk to Zechariah and Elizabeth before any of this ever happened, and you would have known that this was going to happen, and you would have told them, you know, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to say things, they probably would have looked at you a little sideways. They would have been like, really? I suppose it's not impossible, but really, you know, I'm just, you know, maybe they would say, well, I'm not a public speaker. Maybe they would say, I'm just not an outspoken person about my spirituality. Maybe Zechariah would have said, well, you know, I'm a priest. I faithfully do what God's called me to do in my temple service 2 weeks of every year. And you know, that's who we are. You would get the impression that they're just humble, down-to-earth people that live a at least somewhat isolated lifestyle because they feel ashamed of the fact that they can't have kids or they haven't been able to so far. So if you imagine speaking to that type of person and saying, you know, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to proclaim things, express things by the Spirit speaking through you, that might have taken a little time to sink in. And yet, here we read that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Did she know in that moment that she was being filled with the Holy Spirit and that her reply to Mary was coming from the Spirit speaking through her, to her and through her? Maybe not. Maybe it was by looking back on this event that she identified that this was the Holy Spirit working. Maybe it was Luke, in writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to Luke that Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Maybe Mary even recognized it, that, wow, the Spirit's really gotten into Elizabeth. Did Elizabeth recognize it? Maybe not. And that can be the case in the lives of a lot of Christians. They might not see themselves, and this could be true of you today. We don't see ourselves as people who are super spiritual, people who are full of the Holy Spirit and, you know, do amazing things or speak special things. We don't see ourselves that way. And yet, what this story proves, fact of the matter, is that we are, whether we choose to see it or not. Now, a question that is often asked when we talk about the Holy Spirit is, well, you know, isn't there a difference between the way the Spirit worked in the Old Testament time and in the New Testament time? And yeah, there is. After Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And from that point on, we can see that, yeah, every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. But before that, it seems that the Holy Spirit came upon certain people at certain times for certain purposes, for certain tasks. Now, Elizabeth wasn't a prophet or a prophetess. She was the wife of one of the priests, one of the many priests. You know, there were a lot of priests, and they all had their rotation in the temple. So chances are they didn't see themselves as somebody special. And yet we see the Holy Spirit filling Elizabeth on this occasion. And what does she do when she's filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, she's replying to Mary's greeting. Now, you know, maybe a skeptic could look at this and say, well, this is just a couple pregnant ladies getting all excited. maybe there's an element of that. I don't know. The Holy Spirit can use that too, right? But the Holy Spirit is speaking through Elizabeth in her simple greeting, in her reply to Mary. And what is she doing? She's doing a few things for Mary here. She's affirming Mary's faith. She's blessing Mary for believing what God told her. That's a powerful thing. So that tells us that when the Holy Spirit fills us, what are we going to do? We are going to recognize and affirm the faith of others and affirm the faithfulness of others. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do. Now, there's a prophecy being fulfilled here. In Joel 2, verse 28, and this is a fairly well-known passage of Scripture. Probably more so among Pentecostals and Charismatics, to be honest with you, but it's a fairly well-known passage of Scripture. And it's one that I've referenced often, but Joel 2, verse 28, the prophecy says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." And verse 29 says, "Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." So it says the Spirit is going to come on all people. It doesn't matter their gender, it doesn't their social status, their religious status doesn't matter. None of that matters. The Spirit is going to be poured out. Now, as we know, the big event in the New Testament that was that initiated that was Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit came and there were tongues of fire that appeared over the heads of the disciples, and they spoke in languages they did not know, and it was all very powerful and miraculous. But we can see that what is happening in Elizabeth's life is a foreshadowing of that. Okay, Elizabeth is a simple person. She is not a prophetess. She is without child, which, you know, so she's kind of laying low socially. And yet she is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we see this work of the Spirit ramping up as Jesus is coming into the world. The Holy Spirit's getting ready to fill people. And so that's why we see in Acts chapter 2, the work of the Spirit goes way beyond what we see here in the life of Elizabeth. Did Elizabeth think that something in her life, an episode in her life, was going to be part of the fulfillment of a prophecy that was like 800 years old? Probably not. She probably didn't see herself as that type of person. She was probably still trying to wrap her head around everything that the angel told her husband about what kind of person their son was going to be. So she's probably not seeing herself as someone who's going to be the fulfillment of prophecy. Maybe her son, but not her. And yet, the fact that the Holy Spirit would fill her and speak through her on this occasion is a fulfillment of Joel 2:28. Before Jesus died on the cross and rose and ascended, yes, but the work of the Spirit is ramping up to that. Next week, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 57, we'll look at the birth of John the Baptist, and we'll look at what the Spirit does in Zechariah's life. But I share this story this morning just to leave you with a word of encouragement that it doesn't matter how you see yourself. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and He will use you. He will continue to fill you. You can live a life that could be characterized as being full of the Holy Spirit, even if you don't see yourself as that kind of person. You know, maybe we have stereotypes in our heads of what type of person is filled with the Holy Spirit, and there are Christian movements that maybe have contributed to those stereotypes. But what we see, and this is why I just love this story, is what we see here is a simple, humble, faithful person is being filled with the Spirit, and through the Spirit is recognizing something really important, recognizing that baby inside Mary is her Lord. And so of all the other things that the Holy Spirit can do, does do, will do in and through us, the primary thing He does is show us Jesus. Jesus is with us now in spirit. It is His Spirit. The Spirit proceeds from both the Father and the Son. So you could say biblically that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, God the Father. And you could also biblically say the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Son, Jesus Christ, because they are one, they are a Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus. And that is the most powerful, amazing thing that the Spirit could do, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You again for sending Your Spirit to us. And I do pray that we would recognize that Your Spirit is working in us. Even if we don't see ourselves as the type of people that Your Spirit would work through. Lord, I pray that You would help to draw our attention to the work of Your Spirit in Scripture. Help us to learn what it means to be filled with Your Spirit. I pray that You would help our hearts and minds to be open to the work of Your Spirit. Help us to yield to the things Your Spirit is leading us to do. And Lord, I pray that You would help us as a church to have an environment in which we, as Elizabeth did for Mary, we recognize and affirm what God is doing in each one of us and the purposes God has for each one of us. I pray that we would also recognize the work of Your Spirit in each other and encourage one another as we notice it. Lord, we recognize that we cannot comprehend everything that Your Spirit could do and will do through us. But I pray that You'd help us to live with hearts and minds that receive Him. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.